freedom and liberty. Of all the things that Baptist people have cherished since that day when Jesus died on the cross and gave them freedom and gave them liberty, it's always been something that we cherished. To be free from laws. Laws are made for the ungodly. Laws are made for criminals. Laws are not made for godly people. That seems strange, doesn't it? I think if we were all born again Christians and if we all were brought to maturity as we have studied the Word of God, there would need to be very few laws. The trouble with laws are that they have no end. There's not an end to the law. They just get more and more, and they get more and more complicated and more difficult to enforce. We, at this particular time, just can't build enough jails for the unlawful. There's a big waiting list, and this waiting list is causing us a lot of problems because they are repeat offenders. I remember the first spiritual law that had been made by a congregation of people that I encountered was the law that had to do with perfect attendance. Because evidently some people were getting their perfect attendance pins who did not deserve them, and this offended people. I know he missed two Sundays, and there he is up there getting his perfect attendance pin. I just don't know how we're going to solve this, but it's got to be taken care of. Because those perfect attendance pins probably cost 2 cents apiece. And we just can't give them out to everybody. It's got to be solved. And so we set out to solve it, one business meeting. And we solved it by saying you could miss 3 Sundays and still be perfect in your attendance. Because we go on vacation, and if we go on vacation, we won't be perfect in our attendance. It's not fair to punish us. I said, well, okay. I said, well, if you go to church. Okay, that's all right. You go to church somewhere else. That'll count as perfect attendance. Well, we understand that. But how will we know you did it? I mean, come on. Well, you need to get a bulletin from the church you attended and have the pastor sign it. I'll take care of that. Amazing what the mind of man can do, is it not, to find some reprieve from the law and let the law extend mercy. And somebody said, well, what church do you have to attend? What do you mean? Well, if you went to a Lutheran church and got their pastor to sign it, does that count? No. No, absolutely not. It has to be an ABA church. But we're going to Colorado, and there's not a church in Colorado that's in the ABA. What can we do? An awful, awful spiritual dilemma. Is it not right? And really, you search the scriptures, you don't find a lot about that in Paul's writings. So I decided the best way to solve it was just go down to the bookstore, buy perfect attendance pens, 5 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years. So I just put them on the table in the vestibule and said, if you want one, take it, whatever you want. And here was 6-year-old kids with 10-year-old perfect attendance pen. Because it was prettier, you know. Or it could hang ones and ones and ones and ones like medals until they for this long. No one ever said anything. No one ever persecuted me over it. It just seemed so absurd, I think they got the point. What has Christ made us free from? Well, He's made us free from special days, like the law enforced. All of the special feast days and observance days of the Mosaic system. And Paul wrote in another place in the book of Romans, and Christ is the end of the law. And that means it stopped, it's over, it's dead, it's done with to them that believe. We ought to rejoice in the song we sang just a few minutes ago about the law that we have been freed from. And it goes further than just these things that make us look holy, that make us look religious, that make us look good because we know how to perform these laws that we have instituted that make us all look like we love God because we do it all the time. And the very first one I see is in the first verse of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation. That means a process of judging. Okay? There is therefore now no condemnation, a process of judging to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, that simply means that when you're in Christ, your past sins that have to do with your eternal destiny are settled forever. And your future sins, which have to do with your heavenly entrance, or that which is eternal, is also ended. I will not be sent to hell for anything I have done in the past. I will not be sent to hell for anything I do in the future. There is therefore no judgment from God or judgment from men that can call in question my right to enter heaven. That's settled. And it's settled in Christ Jesus. I didn't settle it by the money I give or the life I live. It was settled in the death that Christ died when He died on the cross. So I can just mark that off. Just mark the hell question off. People, just mark it off. It's settled by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's over. It's settled. It's done. God won't bring it up again. But since when we were saved, our flesh wasn't saved. There's an issue. There is an issue. We can't, quote, just do anything we want to do. He said, well, I wish I could just sin all I want to. Probably do more than you want to if you're born again Christian. That's what Paul said about himself. He said, I get sick of me acting like I do. Because the things I want to do, I don't get done. And the things I don't want to do, I'm doing them consistently. And it bothers me. It drives me crazy. I just cry out, oh, wretched man that I am. This is a terrible conflict within me. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul acknowledged it. That's the last verse of chapter 7. Paul said, I realize what's going on, but I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that it's all settled. I'm thankful, but it's still a problem. So with the mind, I myself. There's a strong grammar problem involved in this. I, myself. He doubles it up. He understands what's happening to him. I, myself, serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So it's an issue. It's a problem. But life and peace. I don't think I've ever read a letter from someone in prison who said, this is the place to be. I love every minute of it here. I'm happy here. My life is so fulfilled in this place. I encourage all of you to join me in prison. Now, I knew one man like that, Jesse, up at Cave City. Betty knows who I'm talking about. He shot one of his kinfolk when he was 8 or 9 years old, something like that. Didn't go to prison. I don't know why, but then again, he did some other things, went to prison, stayed for 10 years or so and got out, came home. Everybody was afraid of Jesse because he'd burn your barn down. He'd kill your cows, and do it with pleasure and joyfulness. One of our men, Brother Gerald, had a used car lot, and Jesse came in, bought one, got 3 months behind his payment, and the fan said, I ain't going and getting it. He can have it. That's how intimidating this man was. After about 3 months out of jail, he decided he wanted to spend the rest of his life in prison. And he on purpose, near Mountain View, Arkansas, shot and killed a state trooper. And he's in prison for life. Because he said, I can have more of what I want in prison than I can here as a free person. Now, he's talking about dope and everything else. That's the life he loved. So I guess you could say that he would have written such a letter, but I don't think anybody who is not a psychopath would ever write such a letter. You know, being free, and I'll show you that in just a moment, has to do with your will. Being free has to do with your will. So there is no condemnation, no future judgment, no present judgment in the spiritual realm, that is, that which has to do with our spiritual nature, to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and notice the law, here's a law, it is the law, and it's the same word that's translated law in other places. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So there are two laws. There is the law, that is the irrefutable, irrevocable law or principle of life in Christ Jesus. And that immutable law that God himself has decreed that works for those who are in Christ Jesus is that we will never be judged again as to our eternal salvation. And Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, you say, well, what's the word free mean? It means one who can go where he will. A person who is at liberty. But you say, okay, I'll go rob a bank. I'll get some money. Well, maybe that's not the place to look anymore. Maybe there's not as much there as they thought was there. That's a joke, people. $100,000, you're safe. FDIC stuff. You say, so that means I won't get punished? No. If the law does what it should, it's the law that regulates sin, and you sin. And you say, but I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ, but the law of sin and death, from the viewpoint of being imputed to you, is what the blood of Christ settled. Now you're breaking the law, a civil law. Christ didn't free you from the penalty of civil law. And he will deal with your sin in the flesh for your better spiritual education. But it is not an eternal punishment that is lifted when we believe in Jesus Christ. It is a temporal punishment. That is, one that will be punished in this life and not in the life to come. You see, we have two lives. That is, we have the life on this earth and a life or existence with God in a perfect body where we'll never be punished for sin because we cannot sin, having been delivered from the carnality of the flesh. That's the good part about dying. What's good about death? Well, it disintegrates this flesh, and you don't ever have to wear it again. It'll be forever disintegrated or changed if Jesus comes while we're still living. So you don't have to deal with it anymore. But in this life, you have to deal with the flesh because you're under civil law that will punish you, and you're under God's training law that will help you understand that breaking not the law of God, but participating in the law of carnality. I know this gets a bit confusing. It is even to me, because I can't really understand it all. I believe it, but my comprehension, I want to take over, don't you? And say, kill them. Somebody stole mine and Betty's identity and started charging stuff for $1,000. Woman called and said, have you been sending money to a certain place? And I said, no, ma'am, I can assure you. Let's charge your card here. Did you do it? No, I didn't do it. She said, we didn't think you did. We're just calling to find out what all you did. We didn't do nothing, okay? Okay, we'll just forgive it. And I'm hot. I'm angry. Who has the right to charge stuff to me and ruin my credit, ruin my life? Who has a right to do that? They don't have a right to do that. And I'm angry. I'm hoping they break out, you know, in boils. Just anything, God, get even with these people and send me a notice of what all you did. I mean, I don't want it anonymous. I want their name and address and serial number. I want to know what happened to them, God, for doing this to me. That's my nature. It's my sin nature. It's not my spiritual nature, except maybe just a tiny bit. Folks, we live in a world of human beings. And the carnality of human beings is what's giving us all our trouble. And you say, well, I guess it'll be over when we all get old. No, it won't be over when we all get old. I'm old and I ain't over it yet, okay? I just forget what I've done sometimes, but I ain't over it. For what the law could not do. What couldn't the law do? If the law can't do it, why are we passing so many laws? If the law can't do it, the law can't do it. It's weak. It's oftentimes unfair. Justice is not always done. If the law can't do it, why can't it? It was weak through the flesh. You know, we talk about that chain being as strong as its weakest link. Well, the Mosaic law was perfect. Didn't have any problems. The law was good. That's what the scriptures tell us. But what was the weak link in the law? Well, it was the flesh of the people on whom it had been set or given. Now, how did God solve that? How did God solve the fact that the law could not do? We're talking about the law of Moses. If the law could not do, how's God going to save that? Because it's weak through the flesh, and we're all flesh. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God by breaking His laws. What can be done? This is a terrible dilemma. Well, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, He was flesh, but not sinful flesh. God sent Him, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now notice, and for sin, that is, in offering a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. People often ask, well, if you don't use the Ten Commandments to teach people they're sinners, what can we do? If we take the Ten Commandments and say those were given to the nation of Israel and no one is capable of keeping them, well, we have to use them to create in you a sin consciousness. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not bear false witness. This makes you feel guilty. What can we do since these are not in effect, since Christ died or ended the law system? What can we do to make people feel they're sinners? What can we do? We can preach Christ crucified. Because in seeing Christ crucified, we see the absolute penalty of the law, which makes us feel how guilty we are. I wasn't found guilty before God in my own conscience because someone preached about the Ten Commandments. I felt guilty when they talked about Christ dying for my sins. That was enough to produce enough guilt in me for me to know I needed to be saved. So we don't preach law. We preach the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, because in offering Himself, He solved the problem of sin future. But it didn't solve the problem of sin present. It solved spiritual sin, but it didn't solve carnality in the person who has been saved from the consequence of sin. You want to talk about limited atonement? Well, the atonement was for our sinfulness, but it did not solve our carnality while we're here on earth. Now, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled or filled up in us. The righteousness of the law is in me. I am in the flesh, and yet in us, according to this scripture, the righteousness of the law might or can be fulfilled, totally free from the consequences of this law or these laws. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But we understand that this has to do not with the way we walk, but it has to do with the reason we walk. Walking after the Spirit is not simply fulfilling the Bible as we understand it. It's giving ourselves to what the Bible teaches. And if you give yourself to what the Bible teaches, then you will be in Christ, and in Christ our eternal destiny is settled and satisfied before God Almighty. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now that's our walk here. We have a carnal mind, we have a spiritual mind, and if we will walk after the spiritual mind, there's what? Well, for to be carnally minded is death, and that's just the way it is. If you could live 1,000 years, your carnal nature would end in death. And that's why our faith healing brothers just stay away from the question of, well, all you Pentecostal people die about the same age as we Baptists do. Look at it. I mean, you don't know any 300-year-old Pentecost, do you? So why don't they heal themselves? Well, they can. They heal themselves all the time. They're just getting healed so they can die healthier. Well, look at it. Think about it. We've never, ever, and never will find, either chemically or spiritually, medically, the answer to the inborn imperfection that we all have genetically passed from one to another because of Adam's sin. The only way it's solved is through death, metamorphosis, one way or another. Death are the change that comes to us when Christ comes. Each is a metamorphosis. That's the only thing that will change the carnality of this flesh. So if you're hoping that things will get better in the future, again, that's the glory of death. That's the hope they have that Christ will come, not just to see him, but that we will be a changed people, permanently changed, and bear his image. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What? How could this bring life and peace, knowing that you're not going to get away from the carnality of your flesh, from its desires and from its thoughts and all of these things? How can we have a life of peace? How can this be? It can be because we understand that there is no law that can be invoked to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Okay? And that's the end of this chapter 8. I may preach through the 8th chapter of Romans for a little while, because I'm trying to formulate as best I can an approach to understanding the end times that may help us comprehend what's going on in our world today. And that's taking quite a bit of time, because I've never been in that intellectual, spiritual pursuit before. I just more or less explained what the scripture said, but I don't think I ever got into the present tense with it. And that's where I want to take us. In the meantime, I'd like for us to see how wonderful it is to be a Christian. Not only to be a Christian and have the debt of our sins settled, but to live a Christian life and to have the peace that comes from knowing God intimately. Not just knowing God is out there somewhere, but knowing that God is in here somewhere. Just knowing that God is out there somewhere can bring peace in some detail. But knowing that God is in here will bring the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We are an agitated society, people. We're angry. We're upset. We are hurt and offended by the culture in which we live. I am. But I'd rather live here than anywhere in the world. Okay? But it grieves me when I read in our local paper all of the DUIs that the drunk people that I'm meeting as I drive around Benton and Bryant. It bothers me that these people are on the road. It bothers me that I can't leave home without thinking someone's stealing copper out of my air conditioner. And I want my air conditioner right now, folk. I need it today. I know how to solve it. I'll buy another. But it ain't right for people to steal that so they can get $10 for drugs. That's wrong. I'm agitated by the culture in which I live. It offends me deeply. And I'm glad I'm not God. I'd solve it in a minute. I'd probably hurt myself, you know what I mean? Can we find any kind of peace and hope and satisfaction and a little comfort, yes, from one another and in our congregation and in the Word of God? We can find some peace and life, but we're not, when we walk out, it's going to be the same, folk. Life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You talk about the warfare that's never ended. When Adam and Eve became carnal creatures because they broke God's law in Eden, a never-ending warfare began between the flesh of men and the will of God. And it's not going to be settled until the last day of the millennial reign. And that's when it'll finally, absolutely, totally be settled, when Christ shall have delivered up the kingdom to God the Father. That's when it'll always and forever be settled. We won't need any air conditioning people in heaven. Or as one fellow said, with our perfect bodies, we won't need any doctors in heaven. But we will, Doc. Just for fellowship, though. Can we be happy in this life? Yes. Not because we pursue it through our carnal minds, but because we pursue it through the Spirit that God has given us and indwells us. That's how we can do it. Let's stand and sing. Sing this verse if you're here this morning.